Now, where are we off to this evening? Because it's about this time of the night where we learn what somebody is doing that we all get a guilty conscience about, don't we? Because we think we should be doing it too, and we're just not perhaps bold enough to go there.
It's sort of an interesting lifestyle, all this sort of development stuff, though, I think, you know? Interesting places, interesting people, different cultures, all that sort of stuff. I mean, there's a sad place, a part to it all, of course, because you're working with people who are quite often in a lot of need. But this time we're going to Africa again. I'm keeping my eye on Africa. And probably, a year and a half ago, we spoke to Scott Martin, an Australian, of course, who's connected to Caritas here in Australia. And Scott's been working over there. He's actually called the regional representative for Caritas in Africa. He takes care of Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, that whole region, and he's based in Nairobi. And I caught up with him, and he's on the line right now.
Hello.
Hello, Scott. Your regional representative for Africa. It's a grand term. Tell me what that actually means.
It is indeed.
When it comes to nuts and bolts, what does it mean?
Okay, well, basically I have regional responsibility for six countries, which include Eastern Congo, Southern Sudan, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and Malawi.
Now, when I was there earlier this year, I ran into the Bishop of Machakos. The Bishop of Machakos is apparently the chair of Caritas in Kenya. But from what he was telling me, the actual local Caritas is not that developed. So how is Caritas working within the country? Because it's clearly represented there, but he didn't seem to be all that aware of activity among the Africans themselves.
Yeah, that would be Bishop Kivuva, that's right. He's the chair of Caritas Kenya. Yeah, Caritas Kenya's had a few teething problems. Like a lot of organisations, it's gone through its ups and downs. But how Caritas Australia manages to work in Kenya is that we've elected to partner directly with two of the dioceses. That's the Diocese of Malindi down at the coast in Kenya, and also the Diocese of Embu, which is up on the eastern slopes of Mount Kenya. And then we've also partnered a couple of secular organisations. One of them's doing paralegal training, which I think we had a chat about another time and did a postcard about SECLAR.
That's right.
And then the fourth agency that we're partnering is a child rights organisation called Pendekezo Letu, which in Swahili sort of literally translates, or roughly translates, I guess, into give us our choice.
Can I start with the two areas you've mentioned? Malindi down on the coast. Mombasa's sort of the famous one, I think, that tourists would know. It's that sort of tropical beach paradise sort of thing for the white tourist. But then on the other hand, there is a very underprivileged class of people who live in the Mombasa area. Now, is Malindi a similar sort of city we're talking about?
Yeah, Malindi's about 150 kilometres north of Mombasa. There's an enormous Italian expatriate community there, and a lot of villas and all the other trappings of Western life. So you really feel like you're moving into a small Italian holiday town when you go to Malindi. But then you're right, as soon as you get maybe 2 or 3 kilometres away from the coastline, you're confronted with extreme poverty, very poor soils, very poor quality water, high incidences of malaria, HIV, and a lot of the other development issues that confront most of Africa.
And what specifically is Caritas involved in that Malindi, that coastal area?
Our partnership with the Diocese of Malindi is fairly new. In the first phase, we asked the diocese what their needs were, and they came up with a list of priorities to start with that were things that Caritas Australia might not normally be prioritising to support, but they were nonetheless very important things from the diocese point of view. They have a high number of AIDS widows, a high number of orphans, and there were a lot of children out of school. So it was basic stuff like helping some of the children with school fees, providing school uniforms so they could go to school, some small loans to some of the single mothers and widows so they could get on their feet. But then we've moved beyond more or less this welfare stage, if you like, and we're now in the design phase of setting up a community development program to work with two of the communities in Malindi district. That's one of them is the Orma people, who are a bit like the Somalis. They look similar, their language is similar, and they're also pastoralists, although they have cattle instead of camels. And the others are a sedentary farming community called the Pokomo, and quite recently there have been some clashes between the two communities. So part of our work is not just to do the development side of things, to help them out with improving their livelihoods, helping them generate a bit of income, getting their children into school and things like this, but also perhaps a little bit of peace and reconciliation work so that they can live peacefully side by side.
Now, the second area you mentioned that Caritas has been working with in Kenya, you said is up in the Highlands area, getting up towards the Great Rift Valley, I suppose, is the best way for the tourist to understand it. You'd be going sort of from Nairobi up country, and that's different again because that's inland, it's cooler, it's basically in farming, isn't it? It's shambas and little small intensive farms, that area.
Yeah, that's right, Noel. This is with up in Embu District with the diocese there. It actually covers two districts. There's Embu District, which you've just described, which is a coffee and tea growing area. It's a very fertile area on the volcanic soils of the slopes of Mount Kenya. And then the other district, which makes up the diocese, is called Mberi, which is quite contrasting. It's very warm, flat. The soils are very poor. There's not much agriculture. There's not much opportunity for economic activity there. What we're doing with the diocese up there is we've managed to establish a microfinance organisation, which is like a small bank, but like banks all around the world, banks in Kenya don't really want to deal with small savers because they're not going to make much profit out of them. But this microfinance organisation is called Mbeu, which in the local language up there means some special seeds that farmers keep, and they'll put these seeds aside for the next season to plant them. And it has around about 7,000 members. It's enjoyed phenomenal growth, and it has shareholding of around about $800,000 Australian, which is quite astounding. But the good thing about this institution is that the people are formed up into small groups of maybe 20, and then within those groups, they save money for a period. They have to save regularly for 6 months. It might only be $4 a month or something like this. And then after 6 months, they're eligible to borrow three times their savings. And these loans are guaranteed by other members of their group or members of their community. And this is quite important in terms of community development and quite beautiful, really, because what it means is that they are guaranteed by social capital.
And by social capital, you mean the trust and goodwill of those other people who are working around them. There's actually a community sense about what's happening.
That is exactly right. I mean, people within their community feel a responsibility to honour their loans and their repayment obligations, because otherwise they're going to be letting down other community members. It may damage their reputation, all these predictable sort of things.
So that's Embu. Now, when you're talking about infrastructure, they're words which I know within the development community mean something, but can you give us some examples of what you mean by small-scale business and infrastructure?
Some of the things that we're very commonly involved with in Africa is water schemes, and this is some of the things we'll be looking at, whether it be boreholes, whether they be building weirs near springs and gravity feeding it down to the communities. That's one example of what I'd refer to as small-scale infrastructure development.
So that's the Embu area in the centre is actually getting clean water and safe water. Malindi's been quite different because the bishops and the people down there have been saying we need to normalise life, we need school uniforms, we need, you know, small loans for families to get going. Now Tanzania, which is to the south of you from Nairobi, which is the hub, my recollection of Tanzania is that there is less available money in Tanzania than there is in Kenya. My experience of going down into Tanzania was there was more evidence of poverty, I thought, in Tanzania, and there appeared to be a higher HIV rate. The medical facilities seemed to be less developed than they were, particularly in Nairobi, like Nairobi is a big city.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the observation is generally pretty true. Nairobi is far and away a developed cosmopolitan city. The infrastructure here is pretty good. Electricity, water supply, roads, law and order is not too bad. But your observations about Tanzania are quite true. Tanzania is a much poorer country. It's a very large country. A great deal of it, I think the population density is smaller because the quality of soils and therefore its ability to support a larger population is reduced. I think some of it comes back to its history, its colonial history, and also its early years of independence. Julius Nyerere, who was a great African leader, but unfortunately had a little bit of experimentation with Marxism, whereas a lot of the other countries in the region, say Nairobi, Kenya, were embracing capitalism and the free market model to a slightly greater extent, and were beginning to develop industries, developing small business. So you'll find that people in Kenya have... They're a bit more savvy when it comes to business, whereas with Tanzanians, they're a little bit more relaxed about life, which is nice, but it sometimes is to their disadvantage when it comes to economic competition.
And so, therefore, where's the main thrust of Caritas's work when you're down in Tanzania? What are you overseeing down there?
Our largest program in Africa is a water and sanitation program in Tanzania. In the recent past, we've worked in about 10 of the 30 dioceses of Tanzania, and we have a very successful water and sanitation project providing clean water to tens of thousands of people in Tanzania. All the work's done by local people. The system we prefer to work with, if it's available, and of course it depends on Mother Nature, is what we call a gravity-fed system, which basically means a spring is located, the area around the spring is cordoned off, trees are planted, and there's actually some tree varieties. I didn't know this till I came to live in Africa. But there's actually some trees that attract water, so they plant these trees around the springs. They're able to manage and maintain the water system themselves. Marxism and how it held back the development of Tanzania in some respects. But one of the upsides of that experience is that the people do have a very strong sense of community, and they are willing, and they do as a matter of practice, put aside one day per week to work on their community development project. So the community actually get together and bend their backs and dig the trenches and carry cement through the forest and carry the pipes and do as much of the hard yakka as they can, as they're able to. So that also, not only does it keep the costs of the project down, but it also gives them a really great sense of achievement and ownership. So then they're more likely to feel that the water system is theirs. So when it breaks down, they're not going to turn around and wait for Caritas to come back. Yep, I've gone back to visit some of these water projects after they've been completed, and they're operating wonderfully. The taps are not leaking, everything is clean, everybody's happy and receiving clean water. But besides that, some of them have also expanded their system using their own resources.
Scott Martin, Regional Representative for Africa for Caritas, thanks for talking to Sunday Nights.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Noel.